STR podcasts are made possible through the generous donations of our listeners. To support STR today, go to str.org and click on Donate in the upper right-hand corner.
This is Brett Kunkel, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Podcast.
Well, we are here recording in the Kunkel Garage, as I mentioned in my last podcast. Just recently moved and have a home office, which is a room attached to my garage, which is not built out. It's the shell of a room. I am not Mr. Handyman, so it's going to take me a long time to get this place up and running. So it's not insulated. You're going to hear noise from the outside. You're going to hear cars, whatever. Ignore all that noise. In fact, last podcast, while I was recording, we've got a group of birds called? Oh, I can't even think of what a group of birds is called right now. A flock. That's right. A flock of wild parrots was squawking overhead. I don't know if it actually, if you could actually hear it on the last podcast. I'd go back and check. But anyway, excuse all the noise as we podcast from the Kunkel Garage here. All right. Last time I challenged you to make 2014 a year where you help students engage, right? That's kind of the third part of my strategy, the third step in my strategy of discipling young people, is get the training out of the classroom and into real life. Help students to engage their world with the truth. And of course, I'm speaking in the context of apologetic training, worldview training, that kind of stuff. We need to get out of the classroom and into real life. We need to give students opportunities to have apologetic conversations with real life people. And so what I want to do in this podcast is lay out just some really practical ideas. Okay, how do we do this? And so I'm going to share some things that I've shared in the past, some real practical ideas that I've done as a youth pastor, things that I've done as a parent. And maybe, you know, you can take one or two of these ideas and or come up with your own and implement them this year. Okay, so here goes. Number one. You can take advantage of all the people from different religions that are all around you, right? I mean, the United States is a pluralistic country in the fact that we have a plurality of religious views all around us. And so as a youth pastor, here's what I would do. I would teach on world religions. And so we might do 2 or 3 weeks of training on a particular religion. And the way I typically structured kind of the classroom training is I would do 1 week where we would kind of introduce the core concepts of that religion. So let's just take Buddhism. I'd lay out, you know, the key views of Buddhism, talk about kind of what is the kind of the end goal of Buddhism, things like that. Kind of give a good overview, help them to see kind of the forest from the individual trees. So we lay that out in 1 week, and we get creative. You know, we use video clips, we use props, whatever it would be, to just kind of, you know, help these things kind of come to life a little bit more and not just be bland, you know, facts about the religion. But then the second week, we would do a critique. And 1 week, it would be a kind of a theological critique, or we do a comparison. Okay, how does the tenets of Buddhism, how does that match up with Scripture and with what the Bible teaches? And then the third week we would do kind of an apologetic or philosophical critique where we'd look at the problems. What are the problems of coherence, right? What are the evidential problems? And we'd lay out kind of a critique of this view. And then we would schedule a field trip. And so we did Buddhism for, you know, 3 weeks. Well, before we even started the series, I had called the local Buddhist temple and asked if we could bring up, you know, our 50 or 60 junior high school students, and if they would have a Buddhist monk there who could give us a tour of the temple grounds and explain Buddhism to us and tell us more about Buddhism. Now, when I called and made that request, what do you think the answer was? Absolutely. Of course. They were more than happy to have these Christian kids come and hear from a Buddhist monk. And so we got the teaching and training out of the classroom and into real life on the grounds of a Buddhist temple. And it was great. We went there. We took the tour. Of course, we did prep with our students. We prepped them on, how to ask good questions, how to actually ask questions, not make accusations, not go after our Buddhist hosts, to be gracious, to be winsome, and yet not shy away from the truth, not sugarcoat it, but ask really good questions. And so they took us on a tour. Students got to come face to face with these huge Buddhist idols. They got to come face to face with this Buddhist monk and engage with him. They got to see this guy is a really nice, kind guy. We got to talk to them about the fact that here is somebody who's an unbeliever, but who's still made in the image of God, and because of that reason alone, he is dignified. He is worthy of our respect. He is intrinsically valuable. I mean, so there's some theological insight just right there. And so our students went through this. The tour took, 45 minutes, an hour or so, and he was gracious enough to answer our questions. And then afterwards, we always debrief. And that's key. After every one of these encounters, you have to debrief. You have to sit down and just talk about what just happened. And that's where students come to life. That's where you see them get lit up. And that's also the time where you're able to help them see things that they weren't able to see. We talk a lot about narrating the experience. So I'm going to go back with my students and I'm going to kind of walk them through the arguments that were presented or the views that were presented and help them see if there was evidence that was presented for their views, if there were reasons that were presented, by the Buddhist monk or whoever it might be, and help them to see. It's kind of like if you're familiar with sports, like the NFL, football. Professional football players will go back and they'll watch game tape, right? They'll slow the tape down. They'll try to see things that they didn't see kind of during the action. And that's kind of what we're doing in that debrief time, is we're trying to slow things down, help students to maybe see things that they didn't see while they were having the experience. So that debrief time is vital. And so pick your religion, Buddhism, Hinduism, find a local Hindu temple. I've gone in to a Hindu temple and spent time talking to the Hindu priest. You can do that. Go to maybe a local, if there's a Mormon temple with a visitor center, you can engage Mormons that way. Call up the local mosque and see if the imam will do something like that. And you can just kind of pick your religion, look it up online, find out what's in your area. And that's one very practical thing you can do. And whether it's a group or whether it's just you and your kids or whether it's your class at your Christian school, this is a way to get it out of the classroom into real life. Now, you don't always have to go to them. They will sometimes come to you. In fact, I've suggested this to parents, and I've had parents take me up on this challenge. You can go to Mormon.org, right? We're used to kind of seeing the Mormon missionaries on their bikes going door to door. They're more than happy to come to your home. Go to Mormon.org and you can sign up for like a free Book of Mormon, and Mormon missionaries will deliver it to your home, or you can just sign up to have them come visit you, and they'll come to your house. Invite them in, give them some snacks, some drinks, be very friendly and gracious. And then say, hey, I want my family and my kids to sit down with us and sit at the kitchen table or wherever, and then just engage. And it's a great opportunity to talk to some real live Mormons. And so they'll come to you and make it easy on you. So there's really no excuse not to do this. Let's see. All right, let me give you a second idea here. Take students to a place where there are a lot of people, maybe a mall, outdoor mall, outdoor eating place, a college campus, if you can figure out where on that college campus, students kind of gather, and do what I call conversational surveys. Now, if you go to str.org, you can download our surveys and just use our surveys. We have two of them. Conversational survey number one, conversational survey number two. Very creative names. You can go download ours, make copies of them, and go onto a campus. And you can do this as a parent. Just take your kid and the two of you go. You can do this with your youth group or, you know, your students at your school. And you can go off and do surveys. And so we always prep students when we do this kind of on our mission trips. You know, we always make sure they're never alone. And we tell them, you simply, you know, just approach someone who's sitting down, who seems kind of comfortable, maybe on the grass or on a bench, or maybe they're having a meal. You can go to the cafeteria, buy lunch, and then sit down with someone, you know, ask a student, hey, you know, we're here studying religion on campus. You know, can we sit down with you and ask you a few questions? And you kind of get over that initial ask. That's always the most difficult part. And what we found is that people are more willing than we think they are to talk. And so you just use the survey as your tool to launch into a conversation. The goal is not to complete the survey. The goal is to simply let this kind of be a tool that leads you into normal conversation about things. And so we tell students, hey, follow this kind of wherever it goes. And oftentimes we find that people are willing to engage for 30 minutes, an hour, and talk about all kinds of spiritual things. And so that's one very practical way to get your students engaging. And we find that a lot of students that we take on our mission trips and we do these surveys on campuses like UC Berkeley's or BYU, for many students, this is like the first time they've sat down with an unbeliever and had a conversation about, you know, spiritual things. They're not often doing this with their friends at school if they're at a public school. Religion is often just in the background of life, and you know, so they don't take it out publicly often, and so many, this is the first time they've done it. So surveys is a second idea. A third idea is to organize some kind of dialogue with maybe an atheist at your church. So maybe a youth group could do this. Do some training, do some study. Have your students read a book on atheism, and then organize a dialogue. And so you can just do a Google search and look for atheist groups in your area. This is kind of how I built the Berkeley mission trips that we do. I simply did a search for atheist organization, Berkeley or San Francisco, and found a number of different organizations up in the Berkeley area. And then I just emailed them. And that was how I was able to connect with a good atheist friend of mine, David Fitzgerald, up in the Bay Area. He's with the San Francisco Atheists. And then he kind of got me plugged in with other atheists, and it was very helpful in helping arrange meetings with atheists. And so, I've got a friend who did some volunteer youth work with his youth group back on the East Coast. And he kind of took this idea, and he did training with the students for several weeks. And then I think it was like a Sunday after church, arranged for, I think it was lunch, and then a dialogue with a local atheist from a local atheist chapter or group, one of these organizations. And so you can do a dialogue like that. Always do your preparation, have the engagement, have the experience, and then make sure you do debrief at the end of it. For those of you who know somebody who's an atheist, so let's say one of your coworkers or friends or a family member is an atheist. What you can do is just say, hey, look, I'm interested in having you come and share your perspective on things with my kids. And have them come to your classroom, come into your youth group, come into your home, and sit down and say, let's dialogue. And I'm going to ask you some questions, and I might challenge you on some points. We'll keep it gracious. We'll keep it civil. But I want them to hear from you. And give them plenty of opportunity to kind of share their view, and maybe you give them the first 15, 20 minutes or so to kind of, you know, share their views, and you simply listen with your group or with your students, and then you do your time of Q&A. This is kind of how we structure it when we do our Berkeley and Utah trips, is we give them, the guests, you know, anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes to present their case on a particular issue. And then the next hour or so is for dialogue and Q&A. And challenges. And now one thing I would suggest when you do this is to hone in on a particular topic. Well, when we first did our Berkeley trips and we first started inviting atheists out to talk to our groups, we kind of just threw open the doors and said, tell us why you're an atheist, or give us all your arguments against God. And they would lay 15 different things out on the table, and it was just too much to debrief. It was just kind of too overwhelming. There's, you know, they can throw out 15 things in 15 minutes, and then you're left picking up all these different pieces. And so what we realized is, okay, let's focus on a particular topic. So let's focus on the reliability of the kind of the manuscript evidence for the New Testament. Or let's look at morality on an atheist view. You know, take it kind of specific topics, and you can have kind of more productive conversations, I think, that way. And you can kind of go deeper in a particular area. So you can organize a dialogue with an atheist, a skeptic, a Mormon, whoever it might be. All right, so that's a third way. A fourth thing that you can do is just maybe give some homework, and particularly if you're kind of in a youth group setting, or if you are maybe at a Christian school, give some homework and somehow, you know, make this a requirement for your class. In fact, this past Sunday, I'm taking my home church, I'm taking the high schoolers at my home church on a Utah mission trip this summer. So we started some training with them this Sunday, and I'm doing it with the entire youth group. But then kind of doing some special training with those who are actually attending the trip. But so I kind of did an intro on Mormonism. And then I asked how many of the students knew Mormon friends at the end of my talk. How many of you know Mormon friends? Almost all of the students raised their hands. And so I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to kind of take the material that we just went through. And the question we answered was this: are Mormons Christians? And I want you to take that question, and I want you to simply ask that of your Mormon friends. So I gave them something very specific to do. These Mormon friends that you know, I want you to say, hey, I had a speaker that came to our youth group this Sunday, and he was making the case that Mormons aren't Christians. What do you think about that? And have them respond to it. And so I gave them that homework, and this week they're supposed to do that. And I said, okay, raise your hand if you're actually going to commit to trying to do this. And the majority of students rose their hands. And then the youth pastor at my church is going to follow up with them this next week and ask them how it went, have them share some of their conversations. And so you can give homework. I taught a class at my church in the fall on Love Your God With All Your Mind, and we went through J.P. Moreland's book on this. And I gave them weekly homework assignments. And one of the assignments that I gave was to have a conversation with a non-Christian friend or coworker or neighbor, and gave them a couple questions maybe to kick it off, but gave them homework and then kind of held them accountable in doing that. And it was great to watch adults and to come back the next week and say, man, I was talking to my hairdresser, and I used the opportunity to ask them, you know, the questions that you kind of gave us. And so you can give kind of a homework assignment. And do challenge, for those of you who are parents, you can challenge your own kid with this. Okay, name one kid at school that you're pretty good friends with, that you talk with a lot, who's not a Christian. Okay, John. All right, this week I want you to focus on John, and I want you to try and find one opportunity to just ask them, you know, some general questions that might lead into a conversation about spiritual things. So, you know, he doesn't go to church. Simply ask the question, hey, John, I know you don't go to church. I'm curious, how come you don't go to church? You know I go to church. Why don't you go to church? And let that be a springboard. And so you can assign homework and help them be intentional about engaging. So those are some real practical ways. Kind of the world religions, go to them, they come to you, do some maybe surveys on campus, organize some kind of dialogue with an unbeliever, give homework. So what's that? Four very practical ideas right there. Okay, here's another resource. In fact, I want you to go to a website. If you go to impact360immersion.org, impact360immersion.org. A good friend of mine, Jonathan Morrow, he's written a couple of great books. One is Welcome to College. A second one is Think Christianly. He works with a ministry called Impact 360. They're based on the East Coast. They're kind of in the Atlanta area. And Jonathan loves this idea of engaging. In fact, he's in this new position at Impact 360 where he's got the opportunity, and he has created a two-week camp. It's a kind of a worldview, leadership, apologetic camp, if you will. They're going to train young people in some really important areas. But what Jonathan has done is he's built into this experience other experiences. So it's not just classroom training and teaching, but then he's arranged a series of engagements, field trips, where they're going to, the students who attend this camp are then going to go off campus. And they're going to engage unbelievers. And it's kind of taken the mission trip idea that we've come up with at Stand to Reason and putting it, kind of mixing it with a camp experience. And it's a two-week deal. This is the first shot that they're taking at this. I'm excited to see other people really creating, kind of these experiences because there's a high demand for the mission trips that I lead, but I'm one person. I can only take so many of these trips and lead, so many groups. So I'm excited to see Jonathan kind of kicking this off this coming summer. In fact, he's got the dates, June the 1st through the 14th. It's a two-week thing, two-week camp in Pine Mountain, Georgia. Beautiful setting, great facilities, great teachers and leaders who are going to be kind of guides for students on this. It's $899, so it's an investment. But look, there's no better investment than the investment you can make in the spiritual lives of your kids. Many of us have no problem, laying down $900, $1,000 for our students to go to some sports camp or to get some kind of academic tutoring or, music lessons or whatever it might be. And those are all great things. But we should be willing to make that same kind of investment financially and in terms of time in the discipleship of our young people. And here is a great opportunity. So that's a very practical way to get your kids training, but then also for them to engage in these experiences. So that's impact360immersion.org. There's another resource for you. And as I think of more resources, if I can think of other practical ideas, I will pass those along. If you've got some practical ideas, send them to me. Get on str.org and send me a message. I'd love to hear your ideas and maybe things that you've done with your kids or with the students in your youth group or the students in your classroom. I would love to hear those ideas and then pass those on to other people as well. What's worked for you? These are things that have worked for us. They're very practical. These are things that you can do right away after you've done some training. And then that's key. Training first. The way I put it is truth first, then error. Truth first, then error. Then you give them the exposure to the error. So I'm not going to set up a meeting or a dialogue with an atheist until I've done training with my students. I don't want them to hear from the atheist first, but I want them to be prepared. I want them to be able to engage, thoughtfully, but also to be equipped to engage false ideas. All right. So this is gonna take some work on your part, mom, dad, teacher, youth pastor. You're going to have to be intentional in doing this. And look, if you're not intentional, it's not going to happen. You've got to plan. As a parent, you can't just allow yourself to just be carried along by the busyness of life. You've got to take time out and plan some things like this. So sit down with your spouse. If you're a single parent, sit down by yourself and do this. Make some plans, schedule some dates, get something on the calendar, get a meeting, with Mormon missionaries on the calendar, and then do your training up until that meeting time. But you've got to plan. A second piece of advice is maybe do it with others. Find some other parents in your church who want to take their kids deeper. Find another youth pastor who's interested in doing some of these things. And do this with some other folks. Do this in community. Of course, when we do these trips, we're taking groups, and so we're able to do this in community. And there's just such a huge value when you do it in community with other believers. Okay, and so these are some really practical ideas to get our kids off the sidelines and into the game. And I think what I found with the majority of students is that this helps bring Christ to life. It helps bring the truth to life. It's no longer abstract objects or arguments. Did I say abstract objects? It's no longer just abstract arguments. It's not just, you know, intellectual stuff. But now, you know, the rubber hits the road here. It's real people, real unbelievers who they're engaging with the truth. And then it is a great opportunity for you to model the love of Christ. And so it's not just the strength of our arguments, but it's, you know, it's our graciousness, it's our charity, it's our love. We can model for our young people what it means, what it looks like to be a ambassador who has knowledge, but who also has character. And after the encounter, then you can, you know, you sit down with your students, with your group, and you spend time praying for that unbeliever. And you model, you know, prayer for the lost. And that, yes, this is more than just an intellectual battle. It's a spiritual battle. And the weapons of our warfare are not just arguments, intellectual arguments, but it's also prayer. It's God's word. And the Spirit is with us, engaging with us. And so it's an incredible opportunity to that fourth step of training that I talk about, embody the truth with your young people. So there you have it, really practical ideas. You've got no excuses now. Go plan to do something and then report back to me, okay? I want to hear some stories. And so go to str.org and let me know how this goes. I really want to hear from some of you. Okay, I will talk to you at our next podcast.
STR podcasts are made possible through the generous donations of our listeners. To support STR today, go to str.org and click on Donate in the upper right-hand corner.